Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, November 19th, 2021. Section A. City reports pipe installation will continue until February. The City of Midland reports that pipe installation on Midland Drive, north of Briarwood, will continue until February when pavement restoration takes place. The city told the Reporter-Telegram that Garney Construction is installing the transmission water line from the water plant at Midland Drive and Bluebird Lane to the new water tower along State Highway 349 northeast of Midland. The water tower will still be under construction for another 9 months. Midland County reported on Thursday that West County Road 120 between South County Road 1230 and South County Road 1223 is under construction. Recently, the Commissioner's Court added scope to the Precinct 3 Cluster B project to include land acquisition, design, and construction for an extension of County Road 120 from County Road 1230 to County Road 1232, Antelope Trail. This could cause major delays and traffic change patterns for drivers in the area. Estimated completion date for this project is February 2022. Expert area's future is bright. Economist calls Permian critical to global economy. Mella McEwen. There's a bright economic future ahead for the Permian Basin. Residents must get through a few bumps in the road, said Ray Perryman. The economist held his annual five-year economic forecast Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Convention Center in an event sponsored by Southwest Bank. Perryman is forecasting 6.6% annual growth for the Permian Basin region over the next 5 years, with the Midland Metropolitan Statistical Area forecast to see growth just shy of 6.5%. Current positive commodity prices for oil and gas are expected to fuel additional oil field activity and economic growth. The Permian Basin has a very bright future. We are a critical piece of the global economy. We need to educate our folks and show folks we are an important part of the climate situation solution. The challenges facing the Permian Basin economy have to do with demographics and education. One of the things that drives the economy is demographics. They always matter. Texas's demographics show that the state not only has a lot of young people, meaning the state has a need to educate them. The Permian Basin must meet that standard, pointing out that only 31.5% of adults in the Permian Basin are at or above level 3 literacy. Obtaining the workforce needed in the future will require raising those rates and investing in education. During the height of the pandemic last spring, when schools closed and moved to distance learning, he said 4 to 5% of students had no contact with their schools because they lacked access broadband. If Texas kept its education levels at current levels, graduation rates and job placement rates at current rates, if we let demographics do what they do, 15 years from now, the average Texan will have $6,000 less in income. We will be a state without a skilled workforce, a state with financial needs. Another challenge for the Permian Basin is its wealth of energy resources and the controversy around the impact of those resources on the climate. We're going in a direction we don't need to go in terms of addressing energy and climate change. Climate change is real. All we hear about are the solutions is not practical. We cannot get there without hydrocarbons. Oil and gas need to be a partner in addressing climate change. What the Permian Basin can do and will have to do is produce and use those hydrocarbons cleanly. There are already such efforts underway, pointing to the proposed Nacero refinery near Pinwell that will produce gasoline from natural gas. It is incumbent upon us to get the message out that we are part of the solution, because that affects not only the industry being allowed to operate, but to access the capital it needs to operate. Addressing rising concerns about inflation, he acknowledged that the issue is very real but should diminish over time. Supply chain constraints are also an issue. He compared the global economy to a massive engine that had been suddenly shut down by the pandemic. Restarting that engine requires components be greased, and he said that that's what's happening now, and it will take a few months for that engine to fully run again. The brilliant thing about humanity is as soon as we create a problem, we create a solution. Perumim noted that he has been doing these conferences 38 years and marveled at how things have changed from the first one, primarily in terms of technology and access to information. He added that he has gained a lot of experience and met a lot of people over those 38 years. In terms of the economy, Texas was an all-energy economy when I started. People have begun taking different views of the economy over time. Prude declares run for re-election. By Caitlin Randall. Midland County Commissioner Precinct 4 Randy Prude has filed to run for re-election in 2022. Prude, a petroleum engineer, has served on the commissioner's court for 23 years after first being elected in 1998. During his time as Precinct 4 Commissioner, he has been heavily involved with the county library system and area nonprofits. In a statement to the Reporter Telegram, Prude said he is most proud of the relationships he has forged with the residents of Midland County, elected officials, and other county employees. Through those relationships, we have built a state-of-the-art courthouse, horseshoe complex, library, and many other facilities with no debt, and have maintained the lowest county tax rate in the state. Prude also noted that he championed freezing taxes on homesteads for those 65 and older and increasing property tax exemptions, as well as led the court and worked with state and federal leaders to fight against high-level nuclear waste site that has been approved in Andrews County. If the voters choose to re-elect me, I intend to continue forging partnerships with the city, school, hospital, and college to keep property taxes as low as possible while maintaining what I believe to be a great place to live for this generation and the ones to come. Providing water to county residents would also be a priority if he is re-elected. He was on the court when commissioners approved securing water rights and purchasing land in Winkler County to develop a water field. Prude will be running against Charles Hall, current constable for Precinct 4, in the Republican primary. The primaries will take place in the spring of 2022, and the general election will follow in November. Filing to run in the upcoming election began Monday and will end on December 13th. This year's holiday week sees a $1.14 increase by Stuart Doreen. It wasn't a banner week for gas prices in Midland compared to the rest of the state. The organization reported this week that while the average price of gas dropped in Midland, the 1 cent decrease was one of the lowest in the state, tied for the lowest in West Texas, and 3 cents behind the state average. And while Midland's average crept to within 7 cents of the state last week, that difference was pushed back to 10 cents a week later. Midland is now home to the second most expensive average among larger metropolitan areas in the state. The average price in Midland was $3.13, second to El Paso. The only other metropolitan area with averages at or above $3.10 are Odessa and Texarkana. Across the region, the price of gas fell at the greatest rate compared to Midland. Millions of drivers across the state will be paying approximately $1.15 to $1.25 more for a gallon of gas than they would have if they traveled for Thanksgiving in 2020. Drivers in Texas are still paying the second lowest gas price average in the country. The average in Midland is up $1.14 compared to the same time in 2020. The average year-over-year price in Texas is up $1.23. Midland police detained student for weapon. A Midland High School student was detained Wednesday by campus police for having a weapon on campus. The district stated in a press release the student was detained without incident thanks to an anonymous Crime Stopper tip. We encourage parents to remind their children of the importance of saying something if they see something, the MISD said. Students can submit anonymous tips at www.midlandcrimestoppers.com. Joan Carol Flowers passed away on Friday, November 12th, in Midland. The family will receive friends for viewing at Ellis Funeral Home on Friday, November 19th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral services have been scheduled for 10 a.m. on Saturday, November 20th, at Ellis Funeral Home. Arrangements are under the direction of Ellis Funeral Home. Consuelo Duran Montez of Midland passed away on Thursday, November 11th. Viewing will be Sunday, November 21st, from 1 to 9 p.m. at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Rosary will be at 7. Services will start on Monday, November 22nd at 9 at the funeral home, followed by Mass at St. Anne's Catholic Church at 10. Joel Gutierrez of Midland passed away on Friday, November 12th. A celebration of life will be at the funeral home on between 4 and 5 p.m. on Friday the 19th. Maria Gomez of Midland passed away on Saturday, November 13th. Viewing will be Friday at the funeral home from 9 to 1 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Friday the 19th at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Martha Callis of Midland passed away November 18th. Service is pending with Nellie Picklum Welsh Funeral Home in Midland.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, November 19th, 2021. Perryman, outlook bright for Permian. Changing demographics, the economic and energy outlook, and inflation were among the topics Ray Perryman, president and CEO of the Perryman Group, spoke about during a media availability Thursday. Perryman spoke at a luncheon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. The Perryman Group is an economic and financial analysis firm headquartered in Waco. Quote, in terms of the economy, a lot has changed. Texas was an all-energy economy when I first started doing this, just beginning to dabble into technology, as an example. That changed a lot. People began to take a different view of economic development over the years and in how that works. That's changed a lot. Obviously, economic policy has changed a lot, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, inflation was basically institutionalized, and of course the savings account, a simple savings account, routinely paid 5 1/4% interest. You add inflation built into the structure of the economy. We no longer have that. There are a lot of things that are very, very different. And obviously, recently, we've been through a pandemic, which is something that we haven't seen before. So a lot of things have stayed the same. The basic fundamental drivers of the economy go back to Aristotle, at least. But a lot's changed, end quote, he added. For the typical person, their first concern is whether they have a job. Perryman said employment rates are getting back, quote, pretty close, end quote, to where they were before. The price of gasoline is the other component in how people gauge inflation, quote, because they see it every day as they drive, end quote, he said. Quote, the price of gasoline's up 48%. So most people's perception of inflation is, wow, this is terrible, but that's a fairly small percentage of their total consumption, end quote, he said. He added that the Permian Basin was hit much harder than other places by the pandemic because one of the things that COVID hit hardest was energy. Quote, and we're a part of that, so we have suffered more and have come back a little slower than some of the others. Having said that, I think we will have a growth rate we're projecting, a growth rate here over the next 5 years that is well above the state and the nation. End quote, he said. Perryman said part of what is going on right now is that there were a lot of wells that were completed, but not brought online when the pandemic hit. Quote, so the first batch of increase in production didn't bring a lot of jobs and investment with that you might normally see. Part of that is catch-up, because there's only so much of that production getting back up to levels. Companies start to invest again, so we're beginning to see some of that happen, end quote. Perryman projects a bright short-term future, but in the long term, a critical piece of the world economy faces two challenges. Quote, we've got to educate folks. We've got to show folks just how important we are as a part of a solution. That involves more than just running ads on TV. That involves using the intellectual capital of all the people who know things about energy out here to help drive more efficient use of water, less release of carbon in the atmosphere, all those kinds of things that we have the brain power, the intellectual property of the energy industry to do right here. End quote. On the subject of demographics, Perryman said while people are worried about inflation, Amazon's quarterly earnings, or what the Federal Reserve is up to, 20 years from now, demographics will matter. Quote, and it always matters. It's a fundamental driver of the economy. If we look at the demographics in Texas right now, we have great opportunities because unlike any other place in the country, we have young people. We have a growing pool of young people and labor force is going to be a major need in the future. We also have a desperate need to educate those folks from kindergarten all the way through to adulthood, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, the literacy rate at level 3, the basic literacy rate that allows you to do most jobs and have some skill associated with them in the Permian Basin, the adults that have literacy that meet that literacy standard is 31.6%. We could solve our workforce problem that we have right now simply by getting our adults up to level 3. If we could get up to the state average, which is not that great in literacy, we could have 45,000 more workers and skilled workers in the Permian Basin right now, end quote, he said. Perryman said the way the demographics are shifting, the growth is with Hispanics and lower-income white people. Quote, it poses some real challenges because those folks just don't control the wealth that you need to provide your students with the opportunities that they need, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, you have something come on like a pandemic, and 11% of the kids in Texas had no contact with school for a year. That's because they didn't have broadband, and they didn't have access to someone who could get them access to broadband. You have those kinds of issues that we need to address. If a kid is doing okay, but they need a little tutoring in one subject, those families don't have the resources. If you need to buy software to help them with enrichment programs, they don't have the resources. So there's a lot we need to do in terms of education. End quote, he added. Perryman said if Texas maintains its education system at the quality level it is today from preschool through graduate school, if the same graduation rates and placement rates are maintained and demographics continue changing the way they are, 15 years from today, the average person in Texas, excluding inflation, will have $6,000 less in annual income to live on. Quote, what that means is we're suddenly a state that doesn't have a skilled workforce. We're suddenly a state that has more financial needs. We don't attract all these companies to the state because we don't have a workforce. And we have the needs that that creates. So we have to impose taxes to meet those needs. So we became a low-growth, high-tax state, end quote, Perryman said. Energy has changed not only in the last 20 years, but in the last couple of years. Quote, frankly, Washington has it completely wrong, and a lot of things are going on right now. We're moving in some directions we don't need to go. Climate change is very real. Everything you hear about climate change is real. Everything you hear about the solution is not practical and not realistic. You can't get there without hydrocarbons. The oil and gas industry has to be a partner, not a problem in this solution. And Washington and Glasgow and everywhere else needs to realize that, end quote, Perryman said. Quote, what we can do and what we have to do is we can burn petroleum clean. We can use petroleum as a part of the solution. And a lot of that activity is already taking place. The big Nistero announcement here in this area, they're going to take natural gas and turn it into gasoline and reduce emissions 60%. That's very important. End quote. Tree market opens Saturday. Parks Legato looking a lot like Christmas. For 2 weekends, the Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market will transform a corner of Ector County into a holiday wonderland. Set for Saturday and Sunday and November 26th through 28th, the market will be located at the Parks Legato Town Center, 7260 State Highway 191. Hours are 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. November 26th, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. November 27th, and 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. November 28th. Saturday events include vendor markets from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Christmas Tree Market started in 2018 and benefits the Permian High School Band. Marketing coordinator Elise Hudson said there will be a vendor market on Saturday and November 27th where people can purchase treats. Santa also will be there and offering free photos with him. There will be music, Thomas the Train rides, Christmas carolers, free hot chocolate, and more. Fraser fir Christmas trees will be for sale along with wreaths, garland, and poinsettias. Close and Holiday said, something new this year is a 40-foot Christmas tree behind the plaza by the hotels. There's a circle that people can view. Huston said all the proceeds will go to the Permian High School band. The band boosters work the market. Director of bands, Jeff Whitaker. Marketing coordinator, Andrew Marshall, said the band bought a refrigerated trailer for the trees, garland, and poinsettias. He added that the trees do better if they are kept cool. Quote, they come from northern Wisconsin. When we started, we had to do a lot of research about the best kinds of trees to have down here because we just weren't familiar. There aren't very many people that sell fresh-cut trees, so fir trees, noble fir and Fraser fir, do the best down here because they have short needles and thick branches, as opposed to a pine tree that's the opposite. With these fir trees, all the farmers we talked to said that you have to keep them moist and wet. Otherwise, in our climate down here, if we just leave them sitting outside, they dry out. So in the past, when they were on the patio, Permian went out there literally every day and hosed them down with cold water, and we had to shade in the whole thing to keep them cold and wet. And then that keeps it from drying out. When someone buys a tree, they do a fresh cut of about an inch off the bottom of the stump. As long as you put it in water that day, the tree will soak up water. It won't grow, obviously, but it will keep it alive through the holidays, end quote, Marshall said. If people want to keep the trees fresh, they have to keep watering them. Quote, one of the cool things that Permian did is they bought Christmas tree preservative. It's something that everybody that buys a tree, they give it to them complimentary, and you mix it in with the water. The trees soak it up. What most people find is that the tree will soak up a lot of water the first 2 or 3 days because it's been cut for a week at least. So it'll soak up a whole bunch, and then throughout the holiday season, it doesn't soak up as much. But Elise and the band have worked together to find things to make it easier for people. They built a general store out here, and they sell all these accessories, if you will. They have a water funnel that goes halfway up the tree, so you don't have to bend down to fill it up, end quote, Marshall said. There also is a thick absorbent mat underneath, so if anything spills out when you're decorating it, or you have pets, it doesn't go on the floor. Quote, they've added a lot of things for people based on the feedback we've gotten, end quote, Marshall said. Hudson said they are expecting close to 300 trees, and there are 8 to 9 foot trees and 10 to 11 foot trees. Quote, then they have several hundred wreaths and garland, too. This is the first year they've added poinsettias. We have a lot of people that want to participate and support the band, but they don't want a tree because they like the artificial one they have. So they found all these ways for people to come out and support the band, even if they don't want or need a Christmas tree, end quote, Marshall said. He added that they reached out early to find a poinsettia grower. Quote, otherwise, I don't know if we'd be able to get them either. It seems like there are shortages everywhere, but they've been growing specifically for sale at the market the last year, end quote, he added. When they started in 2018, they had to call a little over 370 farms just to find fir trees for sale because there is a global shortage. Quote, and so there's shortages of trees for Christmas trees, and then the shortage for the type of tree we need in West Texas is even worse. And so we had to call a whole bunch, and then every year we've been fortunate enough to work with the same farm, so that they're coming from the same place this year that they did the last 3 or 4 years. But it does get harder every year, and they're more expensive, only slightly every year. We've been lucky in that our farmer that we work with in Wisconsin hasn't gone way up on his rates for us because it's Permian. It's a nonprofit. He's worked with us a little more than other people have. So to give you a reference point, the next closest wholesaler that we got an option for this year, their wholesale price is what we're charging in retail, end quote. Quote, the guy that we're working with is really doing us a favor because it's just the next closest Fraser fir trees that we saw were about $100 to $140 a tree, which is what you buy them for at Parks Legato. So there's no money to be made without the band having to double their prices. So we're lucky in that we found a farmer. It's a family farm with a guy in Wisconsin that has really treated us well, end quote, Marshall said. Being a Permian graduate, Hudson said she feels this is a really good opportunity for the band. Quote, I wish that when I was in high school, that there was something, like with organizations I was involved in, that we had something like this. It's become really successful. It's more than just a school fundraiser. They've really reached out to the community, end quote, Hudson said. Hudson and Marshall said people are starting to look forward to the market every year. Quote, I found that it's become easier and easier to market it every year because the Permian Band does a really good job of making it a magical experience for people. So people look forward to it in the same way that they do our farmers markets. They just know it's a thing. They're ready for it to happen. So all we have to do is tell people that it's happening and people show up, which has been really cool, end quote, he said. The PHS Jazz Band and musicians from the band will play Christmas music. The majorettes will also perform, director of bands Jeff Whitaker said. Quote, one of the cool things, too, is that they have been open to working with other schools and nonprofits that want to be involved, end quote, Marshall said. Midland High School has a show choir that dresses up in Dickinsonian-style Christmas caroling outfits. They are going to sing carols on Saturday nights. Quote, Permian has been really open to making it not all about them. And then something I might add, if I could, is that one of the things that I think is really cool about it is seeing that the community has really grown it to a level that makes a pretty good financial impact for the boosters, for all the work that they put in. Because when we started it, the Sewell family had the idea. But from the very beginning, we had said that we want to involve a nonprofit, one because we needed help. It's a lot of work to work those 2 weekends. It's a lot of labor, so we needed help, but we didn't want to capitalize on Christmas either. We didn't want to start it to make money off of it. We wanted to start it for it to be for the community, and we thought the most symbolic way to do that would be to say we're going to give all the money back to the nonprofit that staffs it. I reached out to 7 or 8, maybe 10 organizations, and the Permian Band was the only one that I could beg to take a chance on it, end quote, Marshall said. Quote, for me, it's been really rewarding to see that it's grown for them, end quote, he added. At this point, they're looking at how to grow the venture further by adding more nonprofits and schools. Marshall said that they had leftover trees last year and decided to take some to nursing homes and nonprofits. Quote, what's been even more rewarding, I think, is to watch this nonprofit figure out how they're going to give back to all the other ones. That had a bigger impact than we had anticipated, end quote, Marshall said. He added that there are other incidents of paying it forward that have come out of the Christmas tree market. Hudson said there are at least 30 volunteers involved. Marshall added that hundreds of hours throughout the year also are logged. He noted that they started talking about the Christmas market for this year right after last year's. Quote, so literally this December, we're going to have to start calling for Christmas trees for next year. So as soon as we finish one event, we have to start on the next one, end quote, Marshall said. Broadband Task Force gets notice in Houston. The Connector Task Force, a group from Ector County looking at providing affordable high-speed broadband to everyone in the county, had a chance to share the story of its efforts in Houston this week. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray said in his media call Wednesday that they had a chance to present their work to the City of Houston and Harris County. Quote, as you may be aware, the Connector Task Force was started here in Ector County a little over a year ago. As we look at providing a high-speed, affordable broadband solution to every family in Ector County that desires to have that, end quote, Murray said. Quote, the Connector Task Force is made up of 26 individuals that represent education, healthcare, our business community, our nonprofit community, both city and county leaders, all of us coming together for a single purpose of creating a broadband solution, again, that will provide high-speed, affordable broadband access to every family in Ector County that desires that, end quote, Murray said. Quote, the community in Harris County, specifically the city of Houston, is interested in doing something similar, and they had heard about the work that we're doing in Ector County, end quote, he added. The information was with other communities, so the task force was invited to present that work as Houston and Harris County begin to explore a solution to providing high-speed, affordable broadband to everyone in their communities. Quote, it was an honor to share our story, the Ector County story, along with our friends from the other side of our state, and we hope that we are learning here about this opportunity will certainly be a benefit not only to the folks in Houston, but to other parts of our state as well, end quote, Murray added. On a separate topic, Murray said the district received a clean audit, which was presented by the firm of Whitley Penn at Tuesday's board meeting. Quote, our auditor was there and shared her findings with the Board of Trustees. So we're very pleased to share with our community that we have once again a clean audit. That is on top of our state financial rating that the Texas Education Agency, which gave ECISD a perfect score of 100 on our finances again this year. Quote, we congratulate our chief financial officer and her team that do exceptional work to make certain that we follow all the laws, rules, and policies, and that the way that our dollars are spent in ECISD follows all government accounting procedures. And again, we celebrate that with the state's first report and a perfect score of 100 and also a clean audit, end quote, Murray said. FIRST stands for Financial Integrity Rating System of Texas. The district also was recognized at the board meeting by the United Way. Quote, the 4,200 members of ECISD this year raised over $77,000 for the United Way of Odessa. We presented them with that check recently, and last night they came and recognized at our Board of Education meeting the work of ECISD, our employees, in raising that amount of money. ECISD has been a partner with the United Way of Odessa for many years in each of our schools, elementary, middle, and high school. The employees that work at those schools take time each year to raise funding. We also do that at the central office level. And again, over $77,000 raised this year by the employees of ECISD in partnership with the United Way of Odessa. We know that that money is used wisely to support various organizations within Ector County, and we thank the 4,200 employees who contributed and made that donation possible, end quote, Murray said. More COVID vaccine clinics are planned, he said. There was one Thursday in partnership with the health department. Quote, we have found that our parents really appreciate that easy access, and sometimes it can be out of their way to make their way to the health department or to another place in our community that provides the vaccination for children, end quote, 5 to 11 years old, Murray said. Quote, we'll continue to partner not only with the health department, but our hospitals have expressed interest as well in partnering with us in that effort, end quote, he added. Asked about whether school nurses are required to be vaccinated, Murray said they are not. Quote, nurses in Ector County that work for Ector County ISD are school district employees, and we do not have a vaccination mandate in ECISD. A vaccination mandate would come from the Texas Education Agency, and TEA has not made a decision or said anything about a vaccination mandate for school employees in the state of Texas. At this time, our nurses, because they are school district employees, would follow the same guidance that all employees follow within ECISD, which is, again, the same guidance that every school district employee follows in the state of Texas. Right now, there is no mandate for any school district employee, end quote, Murray said. Quick hits. Charity Friday. Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, 2633 Conover Avenue, has scheduled Charity Friday Thanksgiving basket giveaway from 10 a.m. to noon today. Call 432-580-4295 or visit tinyurl.com/4EA3FFTH. Annual Art Walk 2021 Art and Music Festival. Porters will present the 28th Annual Art Walk 2021 Art and Music Festival Friday and Saturday in different locations in Alpine. The festival will include free live music, art locations, vendors, and food vendors, art silent auction, and more. For a complete schedule, locations, or more information, visit artwalkalpine.com. Gifty Grinchmas Market. Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland, has scheduled a two-day Gifty Grinchmas Market from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. today, and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. There will be a $5 admission at the door, but kids 12 and under are free. For more information, call 432-682-1300 or visit tinyurl.com/2EVJB7RS. Beer, Bubbly, and Bingo Event. Rooster's Diner, 615 North Sam Houston Avenue, has scheduled a Beer, Bubbly, and Bingo Event from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today. You can win prizes from playing bingo as well as eat, drink, and shop. For more information, call 432-614-5414. Concert and Christmas Fair. Special guest Matt New will perform in concert, and an old-fashioned Christmas fair will benefit the Jesus House Women and Children's Center from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. today at the Mid-Cities Church, 8700 Highway 191, Midland. There will be food, candy, and a lighted hayride through the neighborhood's Christmas lights. living nativity scene, and pre-decorated Christmas tree available for purchase. The decorated Christmas trees are a part of the Community Decorated Christmas Tree Contest. Also, available is a silent auction with many unique gifts to place under the tree. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/ZEZUE5YC or JesusHouseOdessa.com. Permian Basin kids get free low vision testing. Midland. Throughout this week, Sight Savers America has been helping children throughout West Texas with low vision evaluations and high-tech vision aids at no cost. This week, Sight Savers America made a stop in Midland, providing children of the Permian Basin with those important visual evaluations. Sight Savers America made a stop on Thursday at the Education Service Center, Region Number 18 building, right by the Midland International Air and Spaceport. They'll be out there today as well. Sight Savers America is a nationally expanding nonprofit that provides eye care and low vision services at no cost to qualifying individuals. Their mission is to provide vision assistive technology for every legally blind person in Texas that needs but cannot afford the right equipment. Quote, we're doing a low vision clinic here at the Education Service Center, and we have the two low vision optometrists that are evaluating two patients at a time, end quote. Associated Director at Sight Savers America, Matt Dow, said, quote, depending on the recommendations of the high-tech vision aids, we will provide that equipment, train the child on the equipment, and they will take it home free of charge, end quote. This week, Sight Savers America has been partnering with low-vision optometrists and local school systems to provide sponsored low-vision evaluations and high-tech vision aids at no cost. Dr. Mike Valdez and Dr. Joyce Sang have been traveling the entire week through West Texas to conduct low-vision evaluations that will determine the needed assistive technology for each child. Sight Savers America has all the technology on site and trained the child and parent/guardian on its use. Dow says that a total of 10 children from the Midland-Odessa area will be stopping by for an evaluation. The majority of the kids are ages 5 to 18. The children take their high-tech vision aids home that day. Sight Savers also provides extensive follow-up eye care each year, maintain and repair the equipment as needed, and keep records for analysis of the progress with the patient's vision aids. Quote, we're looking for any difficulties at school or at home in navigating around, whether that's seeing far away or up close, and we're finding ways to make it easier for them to be able to do those daily functions, end quote, Zhang said. Many of the children receive an Onyx electronic video magnifier, which allows them to make the most of their remaining vision. The device dramatically enhances contrast and magnifies objects up to 118 times and helps open up new opportunities for the patients to read, write, groom themselves, and see their loved ones' faces clearly. Quote, ultimately, the equipment that these children are receiving is life-changing, end quote, Dow said. Quote, it's going to help them maximize their vision to the fullest potential and all the things that they're able to do with this equipment, such as point the camera out and see their loved ones or see their family or themselves and use it for daily tasks and whatever creative ideas that they can use it for. It's not just an academic tool for homework, but they can use it for so many things, end quote. Zhang talked about how crucial the devices can be to the children if they're having trouble in school. Quote, they are able to get devices at no cost to them, end quote, Zhang said. Quote, they are electric magnifiers that can help them read or see what their teachers are writing on the board. If there's light sensitivity, they can get sunglasses to help with that. They're simple devices like that, end quote. VEI consultant at Region 18, Margaret Lair, said that they got together with Sight Savers and after two regional officials told her about the nonprofit organization. Quote, what we needed were low-budget evaluations for kids in the regions, end quote, Lair said. Quote, these kids are coming in from different districts, and there's lots of planning and preparation. Everything's been positive, especially with the kids getting free equipment that they can take home, end quote. County's air conditioning upgraded. Ector County Commissioners Tuesday wrapped up an ambitious $6.9 million project to replace all the old air conditioning units in 18 county buildings, along with putting in new light-emitting diodes and installing two new chillers at the courthouse. Approving the county's final payment, the court heard Maintenance Director Charles Pierce commend the Johnson Controls Company of Lubbock for its work. In an interview before the 10 a.m. pre-Thanksgiving meeting, Pierce said the project will greatly reduce electric and gas expenses. Quote, it's a huge energy-saving project for us, end quote, Pierce said. Quote, we replaced all 87 units in the old R22 Freon system, which was non-energy-saving. All those units were at least 25 years old and were at the end of their life cycles. The project was paid for from my budget through a loan, and the difference in electric and gas bills will pay for it. The taxpayers and commissioner's court will never see it. Quote, it's a very good thing that the commissioners did for us, end quote. Pierce said the work took a year and a half but was slowed by pandemic-related problems with trucking and shipping. Quote, trying to get things here really hurt, end quote, he said. Quote, Johnson has a couple of people in Odessa that we can call if there is an emergency, end quote. In other business, the court heard United Way of Odessa Executive Director Hank Herrick appeal for a donation from the $16 million in federal American Rescue Plan Act money that the county received last summer for coronavirus relief. Herrick said the United Way fell $600,000 short of its $1.2 million goal last year and is $900,000 short of this year's $1.4 million goal to help fund 20 local partner agencies and 29 programs providing services in health, education, and self-sufficiency. Having decided in September to hire a consultant to help field pleas from hospitals and other entities, the commissioners did not indicate if they will grant Herrick's request. A similar federal appropriation to the county is expected next summer. The court also donated $2,500 to the West Texas Justices of the Peace and Constables Association to help finance a regional conference here from April 25th through 28th next year at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center with Discover Odessa Director Monica Schoner, saying at least 130 officials will participate and bring an economic impact of $86,301 to the city. Allocated $400,670 from the sales tax fund to finance road and street improvements. Voted to let Downtown Odessa, Inc. use the courthouse lawn for showing the holiday movie Elf at 2 p.m. December 18th as part of the City of Odessa's Winterfest series of events. Accepted a $5,603 donation from law enforcement partners for the sheriff's office. Ector County jury convicts man of capital murder of child under 10. Court records show an Ector County jury convicted a 37-year-old man for capital murder in a death of an unborn child from 2018. Joel Luna was convicted of capital murder of a child under 10, a capital felony, and aggravated assault to date household or family member causing serious bodily injury, family violence, a first-degree felony. The conviction happened November 17th in the 70th District Courtroom of Judge Dan Whalen. For the capital murder conviction, Luna was sentenced to life without parole in a Texas Department of Criminal Justice correctional institution. For the aggravated assault conviction, Luna was sentenced to 36 years in a Texas Department of Criminal Justice correctional institution. Courtney Williams and Elizabeth Howard prosecuted the case, while Jason Leach and Laton White were attorneys for Luna. According to a previous Odessa American article that was posted August 23, 2018, police were first called to Medical Center Hospital on May 1, 2018, in reference to an assault victim, an Odessa Police Department news release stated. Investigation reportedly showed that Luna had gotten into an argument with his 33-year-old wife before he reportedly began choking her, causing her to lose consciousness. The OPD press release detailed that Luna then kneeled on her abdomen and repeatedly applied force while stated he wanted to kill her baby. Luna's wife reportedly sought medical treatment and was told by medical personnel that she was 5 weeks pregnant and had lost the child. Woman charged with threatening boyfriend with pocket knife. A 40-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly chased her boyfriend with a pocket knife while she was intoxicated. Letitia Venegas was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened November 17th in the 200 block of Wabash Avenue, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. When officers arrived at the scene, they reportedly contacted Joaquin Osorio, who stated his girlfriend, Venegas, had been drinking alcohol throughout the day. Osorio stated Venegas was emotional and intoxicated, the affidavit stated. Osorio stated he decided to leave when Venegas began an argument outside the residence with him. Venegas reportedly went into the residence and returned with a red pocket knife in her hand. Venegas reportedly displayed the knife in a threatening manner. Osorio stated Venegas began stating, quote, "Ahorita vas a ver," end quote, meaning, quote, "you're going to see," end quote, the affidavit stated. Osorio stated he was placed in fear of his life. Venegas reportedly began to chase Osorio with a knife in her hand. Osorio contacted the police, and then Venegas returned to her residence. Venegas was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She had one bond totaling $30,000, and she posted bail on November 17th, jail records show. Obituary. Phyllis Darlene Goble West. Hamilton. Phyllis Darlene West stepped into glory, free of the pain of this world, on November 17, 2021. Darlene was born on January 3, 1938, to James A. and Marie Goble in Mineola, Texas. She was married to Robert C. West on October 5, 1956, in Odessa, Texas. Those left behind to cherish her faith, her smile, and her love include Robert, her loving husband of 65 years, and their four children, Cindy and Bob Gately of Colorado Springs, Colorado, Michael and Paula West of Henderson, Texas, Kenda and Chuck Lackey of Hamilton, Texas, and Valerie West of Hamilton, Texas, 8 grandchildren and 12 great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her parents and her brother, James B. Goble. Services will be Friday, November 19th, 2021 at 2 o'clock p.m. at Oakwood Cemetery in Hamilton, Texas, under the direction of Riley Funeral Home. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to Wiley Baptist Church Building Fund, 6097 Buffalo Gap Road, Abilene, Texas, 79606. Death Notices. Leonor Franco Nunez, Odessa. Leonor Franco Nunez, 68, died Thursday, November 18, 2021, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Ranolfo Sanchez Lujan, Midland. Ranolfo Sanchez Lujan, 85, of Midland, died Wednesday, November 17, 2021, in Midland. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 15th. The Great American Smokeout. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. Last week, I talked to you about my number 3 most hated illness, diabetes. Today, I want to talk about number 2, cancer. Cancer, especially as it relates to smoking. Thanks to the commercials, I think we all think about lung and throat and mouth cancers with smoking. But honestly, I cannot think of any kind of cancer where smoking is not a risk factor. This is just one of the reasons why it's so important to quit smoking if you smoke, and to never start if you don't. In that effort, the American Cancer Society, on the third Thursday of November each year, hosts the Great American Smokeout. This year, that falls on November 18th. Smoking doesn't just put someone at high risk for cancer. Smoking causes multiple negative health effects. Initially, smoking can put people in a good mood, but in the long term, it can lead to irritability and anxiety. Smoking causes stains on teeth and increases risk for mouth infections that can lead to tooth loss or even bone loss in the mouth. As far as the lungs, there is multiple risks. People who smoke are at higher risk for bronchitis, and children who are around folks who smoke are at a higher risk for bronchitis, as well as several chronic lung conditions. A chronic cough, also known as smoker's cough, is related to damage to the airways from smoking. The other lung disease that smoking can put you at higher risk for is COPD. People who smoke are at higher risk for heart disease, and that gets magnified because smoking lowers your good cholesterol, HDL, while raising bad cholesterol, LDL. It also constricts blood vessels, which affect blood pressure and adds to the risk of heart disease and stroke. Smoking can contribute to infertility, and it can increase erectile dysfunction. Smoking can lead to early menopause. It poses a big risk in pregnancy and for complications with the baby at birth. Smoking lowers your immune system, which puts you at risk for all sorts of infections, and smoking can increase the risk of blood clots. It stains fingers, turning them yellow, and it causes wrinkly skin, making people look older than their actual age. It dulls your sense of smell and sense of taste. Having said that, I really believe that everyone who smokes knows it's not good for you. That, to me, is not why people start smoking. They aren't ignorant of the fact that cigarettes aren't a good choice for health. I think most people start for emotional reasons, like trying to relieve stress, or kids who use smoking as a form of rebellion or to seem cool. Unfortunately, smoking is so physically addictive that when the emotional reason is gone, the habit is incredibly difficult to break, even when people are worried about their health risks, or worse, have developed serious health problems. I have had people who would know tell me that quitting smoking is harder than quitting heroin. That is why I really like the Great American Smokeout. It's not just someone saying, you need to quit, or even, you need to quit and this is why. It's, let us help you quit. It is so easy to say, you need to quit, but quitting is incredibly difficult. Cigarettes, other tobacco products, and vapes are quite literally designed to be as addictive as possible. Quitting takes a huge amount of effort and support from those around the person trying to quit. Please visit the American Cancer Society's website on the Great American Smokeout at www.cancer.org. They have resources for people who want to quit, including support groups, medical assistance, and other proven methods to help people quit. They also have great resources for friends and families on how to support someone through the journey of quitting. Quitting smoking is hard, but the health benefits are huge. Just 20 minutes after stopping, people's blood pressure and heart rate drop. A few days after quitting, the level of carbon monoxide in people's blood is back to normal. Within 2 weeks, lung function starts to improve. And within a year, the smoker's cough decreases dramatically and the risk of lung infections drops. After a year, the risk of heart attack and heart disease drops as well. It takes time, but eventually the body will recover to a point that after 15 years, most of the risk factors for all the things smoking causes are the same as someone who never smoked. Please think about quitting smoking this year with the Great American Smokeout. I can honestly say, while I have been told many times how hard it is to quit, I have never been told by anyone that they regret quitting.
Hello, this is Cindy reading Health and Wellness from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Wednesday. MMH nurse earns Daisy Award for exemplary care. Rich nominated after inspiring young patient with compassion by Midland Health. The Daisy Award is an international nursing recognition program created to honor nurses who provide extraordinary compassionate care. Midland Memorial Hospital is one of more than 4,900 healthcare facilities and schools of nursing worldwide that recognizes their nurses with this prestigious award. Anyone in the facility can nominate a nurse, be it a patient or visitor, another nurse, physician, or any other staff member, anyone who experiences or observes extraordinary compassionate care being provided by a nurse. In the early morning hours of November 3rd, Debbie Rich, LVN, a night shift nurse on the MMH Pediatrics Unit, was nearing the end of a hectic shift involving multiple simultaneous admissions when she was surprised by members of nursing leadership. Debbie was honored with the Daisy Award for going above and beyond for the patients and families she cares for. A patient and her mother nominated Debbie for the award because Debbie impressed them so much. The patient now wants to become a nurse. The gift Debbie gave my daughter will never be forgotten, the mother said. Because of Debbie, she now knows what she wants to do. Additionally, the mother described how Debbie cared for them both, and even through a scary situation, Debbie was able to make her daughter laugh and cry from happiness. Debbie did everything in her power to make both of them comfortable and left no question unanswered. It ended up being wonderful and beautiful in a bad situation, the mother said. It is because of Debbie's compassionate and caring efforts that her patients experience a level of care that exemplifies the impact nurses have in creating an environment where patients and families feel at home. Congratulations, Debbie Rich. Have you recently had an extraordinary experience with a nurse at Midland Memorial Hospital? Please submit a Daisy Award nomination at the following link, www.midland.org/main/daisy-award-nomination-form, or use your smartphone to scan the QR code below.
Right or left arm? Dear Dr. Roach, I have a question I haven't seen addressed. When getting a vaccination, does it matter which arm is used? I almost always get my vaccinations in the left arm, but was wondering if I should trade off with my right arm. Could the repeated use of the same muscle result in less effectiveness? Answer: It does not matter which arm you use in terms of effectiveness. The arm will usually get sore after the injection. Most people choose their non-dominant hand for the vaccine, but some patients prefer using their dominant hand because the arm movement seems to make the soreness get better faster. When giving multiple vaccines the same day, I usually recommend using both arms. Some injections seem worse than others. Tetanus boosters seem particularly bad, as did the shingles vaccine, both of which were worse, at least for me, than the COVID-19 vaccine. The purified components of a vaccine are cleared from the arm within a few days, so there is no possibility of reduced effectiveness of a vaccine over time due to the injection being on the same side repeatedly. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Son fears father may be victim of online scams. Dear Abby, my parents separated nearly 20 years ago. My father, who is retired, has been living alone for many years. I suspect he gets scammed for money on the internet. I know for sure it has happened twice. I've talked to him about it more than once. He routinely forwards me emails to check if they are legitimate. However, I think he falls for romance scams and is too embarrassed to tell me about it. He isn't going to be unable to pay his bills or go into debt, but I'm still concerned. Should I do more, even though it may be uncomfortable for both of us? Signed, Concerned Son in Nova Scotia. Dear Son, if you think your father has fallen for romance scams in the past, you should have more discussions with him about how prevalent they are and what to watch out for. Do not personalize it if you think it might embarrass him, but do mention the danger of sending money to someone he might know only online. Do some research. If you think that is what is happening, forward your findings to him after the discussion. Dear Abby, I'm 60 years old and married. Every time we see my wife's family, her parents pressure me to buy a car. Our old one got totaled. We don't leave the house often except for exercise, and our daughter delivers our groceries to us. Because I got sick of the nagging, I purchased a 9-year-old vehicle. When I brought it home, my wife began griping incessantly about my choice. She didn't like it and wanted to return it, so I did. The next time we saw her parents, we told them we didn't need a car and were happy without one. It made them very upset. Every time we have seen them since, they continue to pester me about it. What should I do about this infuriating situation? Signed, No Car in Alabama. Dear No Car, I understand that your in-laws probably mean well, but do not allow yourself to be dragged into an argument about your decision. Tell them you do not wish to discuss it further, and if they persist, see them less often, much less often. Dear Abby, I have a wonderful neighbor who loves to give me beautifully arranged bouquets of flowers. The problem is, although I appreciate her very much, I do not enjoy receiving flowers because I don't like seeing them die. My husband knows this. Also, I don't have enough room for all the vases. I'm not unappreciative, but I don't know how to let her know I no longer want flowers as gifts. I would like to be as tactful as possible without hurting her feelings. Please help. Signed, Overwhelmed in Arizona. Dear Overwhelmed, invite your generous neighbor to lunch and give her a small gift, candy perhaps. During the lunch, thank her for her kindness and praise her for her flower arranging talent, but add that watching them die depresses you, and to please stop. Ask if she would like you to return her vases you have collected, and if she says yes, have them boxed and ready to give her after the lunch. If she refuses your offer, find out if a neighborhood florist can use them. If not, recycle or toss them.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.